be in Psalm 127 in the Bible. If you didn't know that, that was my family up here, part of them. I had a couple babies who were in the nursery, and my oldest son, he's just in for today, and he's down in Oregon, and but that was a few of us, and we like family. Psalm 127, I'm going to read the whole chapter here. It's a short chapter. And let's go ahead and stand together. We're going to just read some verses, five verses. Afterwards, we'll have you be seated. I want to just read the Word of God and stand together in respect for the Bible today. I'm going to read these all five to you right now. Except the Lord build a house, that they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Let's pray, and after I pray, you can be seated. Father, thank you for the words of God. Thank you for these beautiful, encouraging words. Now, Lord, everybody here, I might not know you as Savior. Others are know you, but are struggling. Lord, we thank you for the power of the Word of God, and we pray that we would see great results from the preaching of the Word, both in decisions about knowing you and decisions about the family and all these areas, Lord. I pray that everything you'd like accomplished should be accomplished through this message. Empower me, Lord. The need is great, and you're greater, and we pray you would do above and beyond, Father, and thank you for what you've already done. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. In this chapter, it says, first of all, only the Lord can build a house. Only the God can build the house. To labor is labor in vain. You say, well, I know some carpenters who don't know the Lord, and they build a house, and they're actually, they say a bunch of bad things and do a bunch of bad things while they're building it. Yeah, but they're breathing air that got borrowed from God. And they're pounding on wood that God created, the trees. And by the way, there are a lot of things that have been well-built and well-intentioned that didn't work and fell apart and didn't get done, and economies collapsed and everything else. And only God can do that. But even more in context in a physical house is a family. And children are from God. And of course, the folly of anybody thinking that all the things that happen to make a child be born and a baby be conceived happen by accident, and the millions of DNA strands that had to be hooked together for the first life, and then it wouldn't be alive, and then it had to be programmed into to reproduce itself, and all those things which would be ridiculous in the process, and the seed gets together with the egg, and it becomes life, and all those things just happen by a big explosion. No, it's except the Lord does that. I want to say, in a life in a crazy world, you want to build a good home. I've seen some very confident, very competent, and very smart people whose home wasn't built. I've seen people who are very smart who couldn't keep a marriage together, and their kids didn't turn out like they thought. And they meant well, and they tried, but except the Lord build a house. They labor in vain, they build it. And we see that. And except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. And many's a kingdom and many's a city has been taken, thinking they had everything guarded well, thinking they were safe and secure. But except the Lord keep it, there's always something that's unpredictable in life. And one heart doesn't beat, and one person misses one clue. Listen, you need to rely on the Lord, certainly in life. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, and to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. This verse just says God gives you sleep because he cares about you. He wants you to be happy. He wants you to be blessed. He wants the good things to happen to you. And he gives you rest, and he gives you sleep, and he gives you good things. And God is not some mean guy up in the sky who's trying to make your life miserable. Though some of our lives might have been hard and have hardship and hard periods in them, the Lord gives his beloved sleep. God wants to bless you. Not everybody is his beloved. Listen, I want to be good to my kids, but everybody's not my kid. And the Lord wants to bless and take care of his people, but not everybody allows themselves to be one of his people. But if you will be one of his beloved and accept him as your Savior, he wants to bless your life. He wants to give you rest. He's for you. He's a heavenly Father, and any good father wants the best for their kids. any good parent wants the best for their kids. And we aren't as good as God, who is perfect love. He wants the very best for his children. And then he goes into the family here in this chapter. Lo, children are an heritage from the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. Children are a blessing here, and we see several things. First of all, they're your heritage. They're your tradition passed down. They are your family. They are what you've trained in somebody. They are your future. And children are wonderful. I want to say it publicly. I want everybody to understand that. It is in style. It is in vogue. It's what people do is they make fun of kids and having kids. And kids are a pain. And kids are a burden. And kids are terrible. And kids are, oh, you poor guy, you have kids. And I want to say, no, you're dead wrong on that. Kids are great. Kids are a blessing. I have 7 of them. Okay? Now, I want to say, you don't raise your kids according to the word of God. Yeah, there's some trouble. They are heartaches. They wear you out. But I want to say, in this year, in 2012, I want to say raising kids by the word of God still works, and you have great kids. And when you have great kids, they're a blessing. They're a good thing. They're good to have. That you love them and you cherish them. You're excited to have kids. They're your joy. They are what the first day you love to see them in the morning. When you hear them in the morning, you say, oh, my kid's still awake and I still got a baby to go grab. And kids are great. Kids are, and yes, I know their work. Yes, I know they're expensive. Trust me. I understand all that. But there's a lot of things in life that are spendy and a lot of work that are worth it. And kids are like that. Children are an heritage from the Lord. First of all, they're our heritage. They're going to pass down our beliefs, our morals. They're going to pass down our work ethic and what we want to do with our lives. They're a blessing from God. And by the way, we go and we pick them up and we drive around and we go to poor areas and we go to areas where the parents don't come and we bring those kids to church. And there's a couple rooms over there, 3 or 4 rooms packed full of kids over there. And we are glad to have those kids. They break things. They don't know how to act all the time. They don't always act right in church. They eat every donut that isn't gone yet. I mean, they're kids. And all of them, I want to say, all of them aren't trained well. We have kids who are master kleptomaniacs sometimes. I mean, we bolt everything down. Luckily, I drive them home. I can clean them out before they get on the bus. But I mean, but you know what? We are glad they're here and we love them. And we're going to train them. And we've seen some pretty rough kids come to church and they've turned out pretty well. Even in bad homes, even in rough homes, even in drug homes, even in homes where dad's not there, or dad's not good, or mom's not, children where their kids have been taken away, all those things, we see them turn out well if they'll serve the Lord, and good lives, because children are important, and they're a blessing. Bible says they're a reward from God. It says the fruit of the womb is his reward. They're a blessing. They are mighty weapons against your enemies. It says, as arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. They are weapons. Listen, my dream is to have my children to go out there for God and fight Satan, to go out there and win souls. I want my kids, wherever they go, scattered around the world. I think some of them, I know at least one of them is called to be a missionary in Africa. Have at it. Go fight the devil in Africa. Go around the world. I want my kids serving God. I want my kids fighting the devil. I want the devil to be afraid of the Byrams. And with my kids' energy and my kids' determination, can I tell you, if they're on the right track, the devil's in trouble. They're stubborn. And they're strong-willed. But that's good, because they're going to be hard to stop for the Lord if they can control that will and give it to God. Children are a blessing, and they fight your enemy. They fight Satan. Listen, they're physical protection. It says they'll speak to the enemies, and they come in the gate. Dad might have been old, but he's got 4 or 5 boys that come out there and talk to the guy who's coming to collect on the whatever. I mean, they're a blessing, and children can help you. And it says, happy is the man that hath this quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Amen. Kids are there. They're good, and they're a blessing. Listen. They are fun. And happy as man has this quiver full of them. I want to say, big families are great. Big families are great. When you have a big family, and there's not a lot of big families anymore, when you have a big family like I do, you know how many dumb statements you get from people? Somebody will say, how many kids you have? Seven. Wow, you know how many kids that is? Yeah, it's seven. I figured out. Say, wow, that must cost a lot. Oh, that's why everybody's calling me for collections. I mean, no, they're not. My credit's good. But you get all these silly statements. But you know what? People who think, oh man, big families, that's just, oh, it's a lot of trouble, a lot of work, a lot of this. Can I tell you? Now that my kids have gotten older, my older kids are unbelievable helps. And I've got two babies. I guess one's three, and then the other one is about 10 months. You know, we have a lot of help. And you know what? We have a lot of help in the yard. And do you know my you ready for this? Do you know my wife does almost no chores? And there's a lot of chores. You know how many loads of laundry we have a day? My job, and all's my job in life to do is walk around and turn off lights everybody leaves on. He who pays a power bill turns off the lights. Nobody else cares. Me, I'm like, click, 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 click. That's my whole job in life. And I turn off lights. That's my job. I don't do anything else. And you know what? It's awesome to have kids. I look forward to having grandkids someday. Whole bunch of them. I can, and you know how cute my grandkids are going to be? Have you seen my kids? Can you imagine how cute my grandkids are going to be and how awesome they're going to be? And you know what? I'm looking forward to that. Because family's great. And children are a blessing from God. And it's good to have lots of them and praise God for them. And I know that there's a big difference. If you don't raise them right, you don't do the right things, and I've not been a perfect dad, and my wife's not been a perfect mom, we're still learning. We didn't come from good homes. But you know what? They are a blessing. Or a lot of work, but they're a blessing. And blessed is the man who has his quiver full of them, the Bible says. It's good. It's good to have a good family. Listen, I go to a go to our chiropractor, and also a chiropractor goes a family therapist, secular family therapist. He taught at college level family therapy. And he walked up to me one day, and we're sitting there with our kids, and he says, there are the most healthy, happy kids in the whole region. And I kind of chuckled. You know, he says, and he was very serious about it. I kind of chuckled and laughed about it. And he says, no, he says, I'm serious about that. He says, I'm a family therapist. I'm the guy's in his probably 70 now. I'm a career family therapist. I taught family therapy at college. He said, your kids, every expression in their face, every way they sit, the way they respond to you, they are the healthiest, happy kids in the whole area. And I want to say that kids raised right are happy. I'm disappointed. I see kids nowadays, and a lot of kids aren't happy anymore. If you look at an old show, watch an old movie, you see the kids, they kind of got a glow to their face, kind of got a happiness. Kids nowadays, they watch too much junk. They have too many burdens. They have to be adults because their parents aren't sometimes. And you look at their faces, and they don't look like kids anymore. And the girls start dressing up at 10 the way they shouldn't dress, like they're immorally 25, and listen, kids as kids are awesome. Let your boys go out there and make sticks into swords. And yes, they're going to get cut up, mommy. That's what they do. It's part of being a boy. And let the girls go out there and be girls. And we have a half acre. And you know, in our half acre, it's a farm. Our kids think it's so much fun. And we have goats and we have chickens and we have dogs and we have all kinds. And we have gardens everywhere and bushes and fruit trees. And they work and they like to work. Do you know kids like to work? Nobody believes that anymore. Kids like to work until you come home and gripe and tell them work's bad. Kids think, just trust me, go out there and start working on something. Watch your son, can I help you? And your daughter will come up and when mom's cleaning and say, can I help cook? Now, she'll ruin everything. But you know what? Let her help. She'll start sweeping like mom's sweeping. You got to dodge that broom because she's whacking everything everywhere. But you know what? They want to be with you and they want to work. They got a lot of energy. And it ends up when you don't have them work, you're going to find out you have to entertain them and shove them with a Wii in their room in an entertainment center. and they tune you out and put things in their ears all the time and don't want to come play with you. Because you've taught them that, because parents want to just get away and have peace and quiet. And if you won't take time to discipline, you'll never have peace and quiet. Their kids are not to be sedated, they're to be raised and have time with them and love them and be their friend. See, kids are a blessing. I want to talk about the three wonderful opportunities of family. First one is the immediate family is wonderful. It's a blessing. First, we said children are a blessing. It says in this chapter, we see that children are a blessing and they're good. A wife is a blessing. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 22 says, "Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord." Proverbs 19, verse 14 said, "A prudent wife is from the Lord." I want to say this. If you marry right and are the right kind of spouse, being married's awesome. Being married's great. It isn't a ball and chain. Let me try that again. It isn't a ball and chain. It's a blessing to be married. My wife is my better half, and she is such a blessing. And she wants to help me and be a blessing to me. She wants me to succeed in life. I can ask her to do anything, and she'll do it. And I want to serve her and be her best friend and meet her needs and take care of her. And you know what? We are a team. And life is not lonely. And I have someone you can share with and someone you can love and someone you can be affectionate with and someone you can carry burdens with. Being married is great. And a virtuous woman is from God. And children are from God. And if you find the right person and you treat them right, and if they're not the right person, you treat them in such a way where they're going to change and you're going to make them into the right kind of person. By love and kindness and being sweet. And by time, you're going to find out that being married is a blessing. Now, I'm not saying every marriage is a blessing. I've seen some marriages, and I've done a lot of marriage counseling, and I've seen some marriages where, you know what, can I take all sharp objects out of this house? I mean, I've seen violent marriages and hateful marriages, and that's not what God intends. And I want to say this, if you'll do right and serve the Lord and get the right joy and peace that God gives, there's a happy marriage out there for you. But it takes some work, and if it hasn't worked out before, you know what? That's in the past. Don't think that all marriage is bad because of a bad marriage. Sometimes you didn't know who to marry. Sometimes you didn't know how to act. Sometimes the other person betrayed you. Understand all those things. I want to say, don't let that taint your idea of marriage. Marriage is great. Family is great. Children are great. Men are great. Husbands are great. All of our shows on TV nowadays love to make the husband and the dad seem like a doof and an idiot. Not all dads are doofs and idiots. Not all dads are lazy guys who lay around and do nothing and demand things. There's a lot of good men who are servants to their family and love their family and are kind and work hard and pay the bills and turn the lights off and do all the good things that a good man does. There's a lot of good men out there. And I just want to say this. I'm so tired of people saying, all the women are rah, 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 rah. Okay, if you tried 8 times, buddy, and all the women are bad, maybe it's not the women. And all men are just after one thing. That's not true. Change who you hang around. Come, let me talk to you for a half hour, and I will tell you what to do to change the kind of men that are attracted to you. Because there's good men out there who are kind and nice and want what's best for you and work hard and will be good dads and all that stuff. Bad experiences have tainted people's idea of marriage and children. And yes, there's some bratty kids out there. And they need duct tape to the wall. I understand. Don't do that. But I understand there are kids out there that are bratty and terrible, but don't let that make you think that all kids are bad or terrible. Not all kids are bad and terrible. There are some wonderful kids out there. And by the way, it's usually the adults that ruin them. It's usually, you'll find most any kid who's treated right and loved will be sweet-spirited. They're abused, they're yelled at, they're told they're worthless, they're filled full of junk and junk food and sit in front of a TV watching violent shows all day, and then the parents say, why is my child always talking about violence and so violent? And understand, kids are good. kids are sweet. Kids are fun. I love being a dad. I have so many fun experiences with my kids. I go and Becca is our baby, and Becca is daddy's girl. Not all the kids are daddy's girl. Some like mom, something's wrong with them, and like them better than me. But Becca loves me, and I wake up in the morning, and I pick her up. And when I pick her up in the morning, she just clings to me, just wraps all around me, and clings to me. And I'll set her down, and she starts crying, and she'll just start walking back, crawling back toward me 1,000 miles per hour. They are so much fun. Becca, Rana, I go out, and I play hide and seek with Rana. And so I'll go and she started learning how to trick me because I'd go hide downstairs and she would go come downstairs. Daddy, where are you? And I'd stay hidden and she would look and look and look for me. And she always, I always try to get her to kiss me and snuggle me because she's mama's girl. But so I have to kind of cheat. And I always try to get her to, so I, right now what she likes is pistachios. So we get pistachios and she has to sit on my lap and snuggle me. I have to tie a stake around my neck to get the dog to play with me. So it's just me. And so we eat pistachios and snuggle. And so Rana one night, she's our 3-year-old. She can't find me. She's looking around. And finally she goes, Daddy, where are you? I want to kiss you. Daddy, I want to kiss you. Where are you? I want to hug you. There's so much fun. Kids are so much fun. And our kids, they like to work, and we go work on stuff. And sometimes we build things. Sometimes we demolish things. They like the demolish part better. And we do that fun stuff, and we have a great time. And we do so many fun things. It is fun to snuggle them. It's fun to take them to the mountains. It's fun to go. And we made up a board game. It's called Byramopoly. And it's Monopoly with all the things that we like to go do, and Boardwalk is Cabela's, and we have all these things you can buy, and we play games together. And you know, there's these old flat things you put on a table. They have little pieces on them. They're called board games. People used to ride dinosaurs and play those things, and we play those things together and have fun. And you know what? Our Wii isn't even hooked up. We got a Wii for Christmas. It's not even hooked up. Why? Because there's so many fun things to do. And we read books together, and we spend time together, and we have a good time. We scare the kids. The kids play hide and seek. We play sardines. We have good things. I remember Josiah's here today, or one night before we went to bed, I went and crawled into his bed and hid on the side of the bed there. He gets in bed and never knew I was there. Amazing thing, and the most amazing thing in the world, all of a sudden I grab him and say, ah! And I don't know how he's laying on his side, but he flew out of bed sideways. Whoosh! I don't know how you do that. And then, I'm going to kill you. And I'm laughing too hard to do anything. And he jumps at me and attacks me. And then you have boys, and boys can wrestle with you. And we can have fun wrestling. And they're going to get hurt. They're not going to get hurt. They're kids. I'm going to get hurt. And I find all these pulled muscles and things I didn't know about before and all these things. And the girls, you know what? They trust us and love us. And they, you know, just talking to my daughter just recently, I took her on a date. We went out and went to Dairy Queen. Might as well get something I want too. And we go out there and have a date and talking about her future and what she wants to do with her life and about marriage and all those things. And she trusts my judgment in men and wants me to be involved in the men she meets, which is a smart thing for young ladies to do. And you know what? It's just fun. And there's heartaches, and there's hard times, and all my kids aren't perfect, and I'm not perfect. My wife's a lot better than I am, but it's a good thing. Your immediate family is good. I want to say this. Your family should be your priority on earth, not your job, not your career, not your money, not your games. Family should be your priority. Your kids need time. Your wife needs time and love. You should have time apart, and you should love each other, and you should prioritize. And the guys, if you don't have time for the wife and the guys, then you have time for the wife. And if you don't have time to watch TV and your husband, then you don't have time for TV because your family's your priority. If you're tired and you get home from work and don't feel like doing anything, but your kid wants to play, you need to play with your kid because family's priority. Family is priority. This may not have worked out for you, however. Maybe the marriage thing, maybe the background, maybe you're single, maybe you had a bad experience and the people involved, it's not going to happen. I want to say some good news for you. There's other families that God has given. You have your immediate family, your direct family. And by the way, sometimes you can't be around the family that you love. Maybe there are some relatives that are a danger to you. Maybe there's some relatives that are a bad influence on you. And you can't be around them. And that's true sometimes. And I understand that. And we have people sometimes who come to our house just to be around our family because they're, maybe their family isn't, they can't hang around them. And we like that. And that's fine. I wonder if that's you and that's the case, and maybe you don't have the family situation that's as good as you would like it, I want to say this. You have a spiritual family. You have a spiritual family. Let me just read you some verses in 1 John. A spiritual family. The Bible says this. That which we have seen, this is 1 John chapter 1 and verse 3. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you may also have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. These things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message as we have heard of him and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. It says we want to have fellowship with you. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. There's this word fellowship, which means of the same mind, fellowship. And there's a spiritual fellowship that Christians have with each other. And you know, sometimes we see that God's church family becomes the close family to somebody who doesn't have the family they wish they had. And you know what's great? God has made that for us. When I grew up without a dad. I grew up with a mom who was working many, many hours and was never at home. When I was at home, never awake. When I was awake, she was working hard. She was being diligent. She's working many, many hours. But I didn't really see her, and she never really raised me. And so I grew up a loner and kind of alone with that situation and around my friends a lot. I became a Christian, started serving the Lord at 16. But a lot of my friends, well, they weren't the best influences, and we kind of drifted apart, and we did different things. And so I didn't have my friends with me anymore. But you know what I found? The people in the church, I became very close to them. My pastor took me under his wing and really saw that I had nothing to do with my life and had no nothing. And it was just a kid who was prone to trouble and prone to no discipline and stuff. You know what, pastor? He just started taking me with him to do things. He became sort of like a dad that I'd never had before. And he began to spend time with me. And the men in the church began spending time with me. And the ladies in the church, they all felt sorry for me. They'd ask me, what do you eat? Well, I was a 16-year-old kid with nobody to cook for me, nobody at home. What else do I eat? Anything microwavable. That's what I ate. All my meals. I learned to cook minute rice, 5-minute rice, and top ramen, and I made a mean bowl of cereal. And that was my life. And you know what was awesome? All the ladies felt sorry for me and would invite me over for dinner. And you know what? I don't want them to. I want them to be able to serve and be good Christians. So I was glad to oblige. And you know how many people? Took care of me and realized how messed up I was. How many men took me aside and said you shouldn't do this and should? And I had no idea what to do. But how many people in the church really saw the need of a young man who wanted to serve right, but had no idea anything about the first thing about life and money and relationships? And really, they became my family. I ended up spending so much time at church. I was there all the time. Anything I needed done, I was there. I learned how to work. I learned how to handle money. I learned how to have relationships. I learned how to talk to people. I learned all those things from a church family. And I want to say this, this church, though it's imperfect because it has humans, this church will care about you. This church will love you. This church will help you. This church, by the way, parents, single parents, this church will help you with your kids if you'll let us. We know a little bit about raising kids and helping kids with troubles, and it's very difficult to raise a kid in this society, especially by yourself. And I want you to understand, though you may have some people who aren't there for you, you have a church family that cares about you. Just let us know. We'll be there for you. We've been there for a lot of people. We love people. We have people in the church who will help you, who have skills, who will pray for you, who will sit down with you. And you'll have friends. And we want you to understand that. You have a church family that's a friend. And God designed a church. And by the way, I don't believe in organized religion. God does. He designed the church. And we find them calling each other brother and sister in the Bible because they became family. And Jesus was told, your mother is waiting for you and your brothers are waiting for you outside. And Jesus says, who is my brother and sister but those that do the will of my Father? And he pointed to those all around him in his service. And understand the people around you are your family. And they care about you. And they want to be there for you and pray for you. And let's pray for each other. And let's support each other. This church doesn't have a gossip problem. If you need to talk to somebody, talk to somebody. If somebody starts gossiping, we fix it real quick. And you have a church family that will help meet your needs. We said first you have your immediate family is wonderful, but your spiritual family is wonderful and will be there for you. We pray together. We work together. In the book of Acts, they went to their own company and prayed for each other. Let me read you Philippians, this fellowship thing about fellowship. Your church family will be a blessing to you. Philippians chapter 1, verse 4 and 5, it says, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Fellowship in the gospel. When I was in Haiti, I went to way out to the country, to where Luke is from, to St. Michel. And when I went out to St. Michel, I preached in two churches there. And there's two pastors there. And then one was named Wilson, one was named Orizaba. And they didn't speak any English. They speak the Haitian language. I just drew a blank with the Haitian languages. Creole. There we go. They speak Creole. And so anyway, I preached their church, the translator, and these guys, I'm just telling you, we didn't speak the same language, but our hearts knit. These were great guys. I went to Haiti again, and there they were at this pastor's conference I was preaching at, and here comes these two guys, and we saw each other and made a V line for each other. And they said, Pastor Joel, I said, Orizaba, Wilson. Como ye? How are you? Boom. Then they go. But you know what? We were trying to talk because we were knit at the heart. And we didn't speak the same language. But we could look at each other and say, you love the Lord. I love the Lord. I love the work you're doing for God. And how many times have I had that traveling around the world to different countries with someone who doesn't speak the same language as me, and I just look at them and they look at me and we're just knit together, and boy, we wish I could speak their language. Why? Because your fellowship and your hearts are knit together. And that fellowship together you have with each other, you just know, you just understand each other, and you have that. That's your spiritual family. It's great. It's a place of love and support, and you have that. Number three, the third family. The immediate family is wonderful. Your spiritual family is also wonderful, and God gives us that blessing. And even more than both of these, the greatest family of all is your family in heaven. There's a greater family that, because I want to say this, though I have a close family, and though many of you may have a good family, sometimes people mess up. Sometimes people pass. Sometimes you got two good people who are hard-headed and you just can't get along. And sometimes everything doesn't work out in your family. And sometimes the best of plans and the best of ideas, things don't work out in life. People move away. Bad things happen. People get bad influences. Different things happen. I want to say this. And sometimes churches, Open Door Baptist Church, something bad might happen. And I might mess up and the church might not be what it should be someday. And it might not be here someday. But you know what's great? You have a heavenly Father. And He will always be there. And He will never let you down. I might let you down, I'm ashamed to say. I'm pretty consistent and never try to do right. But you know what? I'm just flesh and blood. And I let people down sometimes. And I'm not perfect. And you know what? I can fall away from God. And I believe that, and I live that way, and I'm very careful because of it. I can mess up. And I've not always been the perfect pastor or dad or husband or anything else. There's days I would like to erase. Amen? However, God the Father never will let you down. So many people apply their relationships on earth, and people let them down to God the Father. I'm just telling you, He became my Father at age 16, and I've never missed having a father since. He says in John chapter 1:12, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. Our memory verse, Psalm 68:5, He is a father to the fatherless. He is a help to the widow in their affliction. I don't want to say this. God, He illustrates Himself and talks about Himself and names Himself, I am your Father who loves you. And I know what it's like to be a dad. And I know how much I love each one of my children on their good days and on their bad days. Maybe a little more on the good days. but I love my kids. I want what's best for my kids. And if you're a parent, do you ever get frustrated because your parents just don't, your kids don't understand how much you really love them and want the best for them? They don't get it yet. Someday they might when they have kids. But you love them so much. But the Bible says, if ye then being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give good things to them and ask him? God doesn't always give you what you want, but he loves you. Not everything is good for you. A good parent doesn't always give the kids what they want because it's not good for them. He is there for you. If you will let him lead your life and be your father, he'll do what's best for you. The Bible talks about how God adopts us into his family. This is Romans 8:14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. When it says that the Spirit inside of us cries, Abba, Father, Father is the respectful term. Abba is the affectionate term. Both are there. Abba is like daddy. And inside of us is something that calls out to our God and says, Father and Daddy. Because I want to say this, I don't think many Christians really get to enjoy the fatherhood of God and having a father taking care of them. I have been independent since I was a good 5 years old. I raised myself. I'm a very, 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 very strong-willed, very independent person. I didn't realize how bad I needed a heavenly father till I got one. Matter of fact, I, as a very independent person, I feel very secure telling you I need my father every day. He meets my emotional needs. He takes care of me. He protects me. He provides for me. You say, God provides for you? Yeah, and I've worked. I've worked two jobs at a time. I've worked many, many hours. I've never been on unemployment in my entire life. However, I've seen enough about the history of the world, and I've been around the world enough to see that hard workers cannot be taken care of in the wrong circumstances. Put yourself in the wrong country, doesn't matter how hard you work. Have your health failed, doesn't matter how hard you work. I want to say, I'm not relying on my hard work to pay my bills. I'm relying on God taking care of me. He won't pay my bills if I don't work hard. The Bible says, if a man won't work, he won't eat. But even in my best day, I need God. He's my father, and I need him, and I rely on him, and I'm very safe and very secure. I'm not worried about tomorrow. I'm not worried about who becomes president in a month. You think, oh, if so-and-so becomes president, everything's going to fall apart. They say that every election year. You know what? God's my father. It doesn't matter where I am, I'll be taken care of. No matter who's president. God's good. He's my father. He'll provide our needs. I want to say, you have a father no matter where you've been. You might have lived a never served God in your life, but you have somebody up in heaven saying, I want to adopt you. He wanted to adopt you so bad that the thing that kept you from being his child was sin, and he took his own son, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and says, go down there and die for their sins so I can adopt them and make them my children. And as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. And you have a great God in heaven who wants to adopt you into his family and be your best friend and your personal father. Christianity is not some religion about a bunch of rules. It's about a relationship with your father. It's all about your father and you being his child. And it's the most wonderful, secure, happy place you'll ever find in your life with a loving heavenly father who sent his only begotten son to die for you so you could be his child. See, your sin keeps you from his house. It's got to all be removed. The Bible says all of sin and comes short of the glory of God. So Jesus came as a perfect son of God with no sin, died on the cross, was buried and rose again from the dead to wash away your and my sin. And if you want to let him save you, he'll save you and make you his child, and you'll have a heavenly father. Though your earthly father may have failed, though your spiritual family might have failed, though the earthly family might have failed, I want to say you always can have a heavenly father who loves you and will take care of you. He loves you. How do I let God become my father? It's very simple. To as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. God is calling you right now. I want you to be, I want to be your father. I want to save you. I've got to save you from your sin. I want to be your father. You've got to say, I don't deserve to be your child because of my sin, but Jesus died for it. He rose again. I believe that. I receive you as my father. Right when you do that, God writes your name in heaven's reservation book. You are saved and have a home in heaven. I did that when I was 16. Best thing I ever did in my life. I let him become my father, and I met my best friend, my father in heaven. And I'm blessed. I have other things on earth that are good and nice, but I want to say I have a heavenly father that's my most important asset. Even more important than that beautiful family you saw standing up here, and I'm very close to my wife and very close to my children. My father is number one. And he's so good. I hope today that you can understand the joy of the family. The immediate family is a blessing. The spiritual family is a blessing, a church. But your heavenly father, your family in heaven is always there for you. And he wants to be your father. And all you got to do is say yes. He's inviting. He died for your sins and rose again from the dead. You can say yes or no. Let's bow for prayer. Father, thank you for the chance to preach your word and talk about the eternity and the eternal family and also the physical family. Maybe today get joy in the family and reappreciate husbands and wives and kids. Maybe appreciate church and spiritual family and the fellowship we can have and understand the importance of it. And that's why we should be at church. And so we can fellowship and help each other. And Lord, also most importantly, may today we have that heavenly family. You as our Father, all the time, everywhere. Please, Lord, we thank you for the word that teaches us this. Help us to be secure in it. And I pray if there's somebody today, Lord, who doesn't know you as Savior, who's never been saved, never been born again, never received Jesus Christ, I pray that they would do that today. I pray you'd speak to their heart. I pray you'd draw them. In Jesus' name. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. We're going to have a little invitation.